Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. We'll read verses 26 through 32 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 32. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 32. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and he had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And let's finish on verse 32 together. Ready? The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here on this property today. Lord, so many times we take it for granted that your presence will be here. But Lord, we need it here. This morning was great. It was wonderful. It was helpful. Lord, we all needed it. But this morning's blessings won't do tonight. We're sinful. We're needy. We need you to meet with us again tonight. Holy Spirit, please fill our preacher with your power. Father, use him in a wonderful way to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I've entitled this evening's sermon, How to Help Your Stress. I'll first of all say to you, I announced this morning's in this morning's service the sermon title. And I have had to go through a process in learning something about this issue of stress myself. I, in my early days working as an assistant pastor, which I did for many, many, many years, I worked full-time at teaching at Hiles Anderson College, averaging the teaching of about 24 hours and 300 or 400 students every single semester. Had a full-time job at Hiles Anderson College, and I was a full-time assistant pastor at the world's largest Sunday school under Dr. Hiles. That in itself is a story that would take me forever to tell. But I was coaching at the very same time. I coached five different soccer teams at one time. So I had a full-time job at the college. I had a full-time job at the world's largest Sunday school. I was coaching five different soccer teams. I was running Owens Publications. I was traveling 60,000 miles a year, going across the country and preaching and teaching. I had four kids. That's enough to make you suicidal in itself. They were all teenagers at one time. Honey, remind me if we ever do it again. We're not doing them that close together. But we're not doing it again. Amen. I remember one day, and my son Joshua was sitting to my left here this morning when I announced the sermon title about stress, and he got to laughing, and he leaned over, and he said, Dad, do you remember that day? And he reminded me of a story. I was under all of this pressure, and I was a young man, and I was busy, and we were at home one day, and I was saying something, and I was all stressed out, and all four of my kids and my wife was there, and one of my kids, I thought, got a little bit snotty and said, Dad, chill out. You're stressed. And I said, I'm not stressed. And you listen to me. I'm not stressed. Don't talk to me that way. And everybody's eyes got as big as silver dollars. And I wasn't stressed. But it's something that you have to learn. You have to learn how to deal with it. Everywhere we go in our society, we have society's concern about this thing called stress. They have these thing called stress balls. And that's one of those cushy things that you squeeze, and that's supposed to relieve stress. And they even caught on. It's not just the squeeze of a push ball or a cush ball. Now they put your boss's face on that ball so you can squeeze it, and you know that's supposed to relieve pressure. They have stress pills and stress vitamins and stress-relieving CDs of music. They have nature sounds that are stress-relieving recordings. I got to tell you a story. Nobody in the world will know who this is, but I had a preacher friend that came to me, and he said, you know, Brother Owens, I was so stressed out. I got one of these nature sounds stress CDs. He said, and they told me if I'd listen to it while I sleep, it would relieve stress. He said it was the sound of a trickling brook through the woods. He said it relieved stress, but I wet the bed that night. To my dear friend, when you hear this on CD, I'm not going to tell anybody who you are as long as you send me $100. We have stress-relieving teas or drinks, and then they have aromatherapy. You know, you can get a candle and it will relieve your stress. There are other words that we use for stress: pressure or strain, tension, maybe burdens, a weight, or even being in a pinch. Now, the Bible would probably call it a lack of peace or a troubled spirit. Webster's Dictionary says that stress is a pressure or a strain. It's a factor that includes both bodily or mental tension, and if Webster's Dictionary understood, it would also include some spiritual tension in there. Now, we read a verse earlier, and I want to show you a little story, and I'm going to be extremely practical tonight, but in Acts chapter 8, verse 32, we read a story about Jesus Christ. And when we come to the end of the passage that we read, in verse number 32, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he, meaning Jesus, was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. Now, I want you to understand something. This passage of scripture is about our Savior. It's about Jesus Christ, who, by the way, was the God-man. He was the God-man. He was, and you say, how in the world could somebody be a God-man? Well, God can be. We can't be, but God can be. He was all God, but he was all man, and I can't describe all that to you. And if you find someone who thinks they can, they might be God, because we're not supposed to understand everything about God. We're just to trust and believe. But here is Jesus Christ, and you talk about a time of high pressure. He spent 33 and a half years living a perfect, sinless life, fulfilling everything that his Father had requested about him, everything that was prophesied about him. Now he's on his way to be crucified. And the Bible describes him at the time of the crucifixion. And boy, if I went into it, and I don't have time to, but just everybody here, even if you're a visitor, you've heard about the crucifixion. You know the terror and the agony that he was put through. But the Bible describes him at the moment when they're driving nails in his hands and nails in his feet, placing a crown of thorn on his head, mocking and abusing him. And it says, he is like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. He was a lamb. Why? He was calm. A lamb is calm. He was gentle. You say, was he a weakling? No. You see, you use the word gentle. When we talk about a gentleman, that means someone has power, but the power is under control. Jesus Christ was not a wimpy, sissy, effeminate kind of a guy. He was a powerful man's man, and he had his beck and call 10,000, 10 million angels. He was just power under control. You see what he's going through, but he's calm. He's like a lamb, dumb to the slaughter, the Bible says. It was as if it were not happening. He was calm and cool. There was no panic. He was not about to have a nervous breakdown. He was not freaking out. The Bible even says he opened not his mouth. In other words, there were no quick words spoken in the flesh. He could not respond in the flesh. He could not respond with vengeance or hatred or bitterness, or it would disqualify him for being the perfect Lamb of God. He had to keep his spirit under control. If he did not, he would have sinned. By the way, you and I need to keep our spirits under control. Control. He had to control his words and his thoughts. Jesus handled his stress very spiritually. He was power under control, calm. And you say, well, I get stressed about responsibility. Don't you think he had some responsibility at that moment? He was dying for the sins of all mankind. I mean, he had to live a perfect, sinless life. That's stress.
Yes, sir.
He had to fulfill and fill full the Word of God. He had to die a perfect death with love in his heart for the people crucifying him. He had to follow God's plan to the nth degree, and he couldn't be off base even slightly. Center of the bullseye, perfection, holiness.
Amen.
Boy, what an example he was at the moment of stress and how he handled himself. The Bible says, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. There is a calm, cool, collected, organized, spiritual man facing suffering, pain, and panic. It was available to him. But as our example, in life and death, he shows us how to handle it. Now I want you to listen to me. I want to talk to you about this subject of stress. And I wish I had 2 or 3 hours. And I'm going to tell you, some of you need this desperately. Set up and pay attention. There's way too much stress in your life. There's way too much stress in your family. There's way too much stress for you at work. And you need to listen to me and let me help you. Let me say, number one, all stress is not bad. If stress is pressure, pressure sometimes is good. When you go to Mrs. Owen sometimes cans and maybe put up some peaches or apples and puts it in a pressure cooker. Hey, that pressure cooker, it makes it so that we can preserve some things. And all pressure's not bad. I enjoy the pressure that pressure cooker, the product that pressure cooker produces. Now, don't get the idea that all pressure is bad. Hey, pressure sometimes reveals to us our abilities. How many times have you said to yourself, I just don't think I can do this, but you did. So your pressure proved to you your potential. You'll never figure out your potential until you're pressed out of your comfort zone. So not all pressure is bad. Be careful letting our society and all the psychologists of the day convince you you should never be under pressure. That they're full of beans. Pressure will reveal our weaknesses. You see, it's good, listen, it's good for a boy to be up to bat in our baseball league and to have 2 outs and the bases loaded. Yes, sir. See, oh, that's pressure. Yeah, that's good pressure. A boy needs to learn to be under some pressure. It'll make him into a man. Yes, hey, you know, you take a basketball tryout or tryout for a sports team, and let's say that a boy does not make it. It's good for him to be able to take the pressure of being cut off a team. You say, why? If you can't take the pressure of being cut off a piddly little ball team, how are you going to take the pressure of being a man and paying the bills and looking over a baby that's in the hospital near death when you're a daddy? You got to learn to take pressure. Mamas, don't protect your kids from all the pressures of life. That's where we get sissy, cowardly dads. You got to take some pressure. All pressure's not bad. Don't get this idea you're to run from any part of pressure. Hey, God produces pressure in life. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, do you not think that Moses was under pressure the day that he and the 3 million children of Israel were standing at the Red Sea and there was water on at the front of them and there were a bunch of people wanting to kill them at the back of them? And God said, Moses, part the sea. That's pressure. That's God-produced pressure. Why? God was making Moses into a man, and God was proving His power to a people. Not all pressure's bad. So be careful. Some of you need to get your tail out from between your legs and grow up a little bit and realize some pressure can be good. You look at Peter the day that Jesus said, hey, you're going to step out of the boat and walk to me on the water. That's pressure. You say, Brother Owens, he only took a few steps and he sank. Yeah, but he owns the all-time water walking record. He walked on the water more than I. That's pressure. You look at David, the day that David fought Goliath. That's pressure. Probably an older teenage boy goes up against a man that was 9 foot 9 inches tall. Minimum, that was the guy's height. He was the Philistine champion of champions. And David went out to fight him. I'm sure there was some pressure in there. And hey, we know it is something that God wanted. You look at the story of Joseph and Mary. Here is Joseph and Mary is carrying the Christ child. And Joseph and Mary had never been together sexually. Mary has to tell Joseph, I'm with child. But wait a minute, they're engaged. Now Mary's pregnant, and Joseph and Mary have not been together. You've heard me tell the story before. Mary says, Joseph, listen, tonight on this date, I got to tell you about something. Joseph says, sweetheart, what is it? What is it? Mary says, you better sit down. I've got to tell you something. Joseph said, what is it, honey? Whatever it is, I love you so much, it's going to be fine. Mary says, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Oh, Joseph says, you're what? I'm pregnant. And Joseph said, but we've never been together. Mary says, I know. And Joseph says, whose baby is it? Mary says, it's God's. And Joseph says, yeah, all right, sure.
Boy, can you imagine that pressure-packed date? Time and time again in the Bible, you see people under pressure. Moses had to lead 3 million people through the wilderness. Noah had to build an ark. Jesus had to rise again. Peter had to face so many things in life. Don't get the idea that all pressure is bad, because it's not. All pressure is not bad. But let's go on. Secondly, let me talk to you about this stress and stress's negative influences on us. For instance, let me start out by mentioning our health. Many health problems are stress-induced. There's no doubt about that. I can almost look at my staff and I can tell when they're under pressure and watch that there are health problems that will soon follow. Because that stress and that pressure in our life. Stress will cause headaches and cause you to bite your nails all the way down to your second knuckle. It'll upset your stomach. It'll blur your vision. I don't think stress causes heart attacks. I think the way you deal with stress or do not deal with stress causes heart attacks. It'll affect your ability to sleep. You'll find yourself tossing and turning and gritting your teeth and working in your sleep. Always weary. Hey, stress will reduce the quality of your work. Whether it's your work for the Lord or it's work secularly, you get in a hurry. Your attention to detail is affected. Your boss deserves better than that. Stress will affect your decision making. It'll cause you to become hasty. It'll cause you to make decisions emotionally instead of by principle. And you'll be irrational in your decision making. You'll be harsh and quick. And you won't use wisdom when stress is getting the better of you. Hey, stress will affect your relationships in life. Your relationships will suffer. The stress in your marriage and the stress with your kids and the stress with your fellow workers and stress with fellow Christians and stress with other leaders and the general public. Stress in your driving, you maniac, crazy person. No patience with people. No kindness. None of the Christian graces involved in our everyday attitude. Why? But we let stress get the best of us. It'll affect your walk with God. We'll begin to treat God the same way we treat other people. With this stress thing, we get short with Him or hasty with Him. We are so stressed out, we don't have time to talk to Him or to let Him talk to us. People come to church all stressed out there and sit and stew and simmer and worry about everything else. They'll sit through a sermon that could have changed their whole life and they didn't have the chance to change their life because they are so stressed out about something outside the church. It'll affect your joy. You won't be happy in your work.
That's right.
It's not in the Bible, but I think we ought to be able to whistle while you work. I'm not going to try to whistle, because if I did, I would have to go professional and make CDs and albums. I'd never be able to preach again. So I don't want my talent. I don't want the cat out of the bag. But stress will affect your joy. You won't enjoy your work. Hey, and you'll make others miserable at their work because of stress. So there are a lot of ways that stress affects us. But remember, all stress is not bad. But stress affects us negatively, and you can see the signs of stress. I remember as I introduced the sermon, I told you about my workload and all that I was doing. And I just threw my schedule books from years and years and years ago away this week. I kept all my schedule books. I was averaging 101 hours a week. And when I work, I don't work at a turtle's rate. I work hard. I work fast. I was averaging 101 hours a week. I went to see a doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to kill yourself." He said, "You're going to kill yourself." My wife would tell you, I got to the point where I was asleep at night, but I would toss and turn. I would sweat all the way through the night. She said I would work and organize all the way through the night. She said I would preach in my sleep. And this stress had gotten to me. And I had to learn to deal with it, because, you see, I wanted long-term success for God.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to be one of those old gray-haired men in his 85 years old that was a patriarch of the faith. I'm not old, but I'm gray-haired, so I got at least part of it. But I had to deal with it. I had to learn it. And I come to you a failure, hoping to teach you tonight how to succeed at something that I didn't do so well with in my 20s. But I think if you'll listen, I can help you. Let me talk to you about stress and how to help this thing that we call stress. First of all, let me tell you this. Obey God.
Yeah.
Obey God. If you don't, you're going to be stressed if you're saved.
Yeah.
Hey, The most miserable people in the world are saved people that are not obeying God. They're more miserable than the lost people that are not obeying God. Because of the expectation and the requirement of the Holy Spirit of God upon a Christian, if you're saved and you don't obey God, you're going to be stressed. The more you obey God, and the less disobedience, the less self-inflicted stress you're going to face. Your disobedience inflicts stress upon the Christian life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You need to obey God. Bring your thoughts into obedience to Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your disobedience, and this is going to stress you. And some of you need to stop letting that conviction build up. Obey God. You will take a lot of stress out of your life tonight if you'll just say, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to show up for church. I'm going to get the sin out of my life. You'll take some stress out of your life, Christian. Number two, submit to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. There it is. The fruit of the Spirit is what? There's some peace in there. The Spirit produces peace. Even in the midst of a storm, there's a story of Jesus Christ who was perfectly submissive to the Godhead. He was submissive to the Holy Spirit. There's a story in the Bible where they were on a boat and there was a storm and Jesus was asleep on the bottom of the boat. Why? He had peace in the midst of the storm. He was not stressed during the storm. Why? He was in subjection to the Holy Spirit of God. So you need to obey God. You need to obey and submit to the Holy Spirit. Number three, you need to stay in your Bible. You say, well, you think that's the answer to everything. You guessed her, Chester. I happen to have God's answer book to man's problems. It's the most powerful book anywhere in the universe. It's the only book that God ever wrote. It's a pure book. It's a holy book. It's a powerful book. And yes, indeed, it is the answer to our problems. In Psalm 119, 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What's it talking about? It'll reduce your stress. His law will reduce your stress. Hey, that's better than those pills a psychiatrist give you. Take a big old dose of the gospel and we'll find that God can relieve stress in your life. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's better than a stress ball. Instead of squeezing a stress ball, get your Bible out and squeeze on some of them pages. Let it relieve the stress in your life. And so I say to you that you need to stay in your Bible and you need to submit to the Holy Spirit. You need to obey God. Now, let's even get a little more practical here if we could. Finish what you start. Unfinished tasks will stress you. You won't sleep at night because of them. Mrs. Owens won't go to bed at night if there are dirty dishes in the sink. And so every night I do those for her. But she tells me, she said, honey, I need to do the dishes before I go to bed. It just bothers me if it's an unfinished task. Non-finishers get stressed about their lives. They start a million little projects and they don't finish them and they find themselves stressed out. Hey, listen. I was thinking the other day, I was walking around the church building. I was looking and I was thinking through a whole bunch of projects that a whole bunch of people started and haven't finished. I'm thinking, if they're not stressed about it, they ought to be. If you have any character, you will be. We need to finish our projects. Finish what you do. Non-finishers have more stress in life. There's something about bringing to a close a project that will relax you and relieve you. So we need to learn to finish what we start. So I said this. I said, obey God. It'll relieve stress. Submit to the Holy Spirit. It will relieve stress. You stay in your Bible. It is a stress-relieving book. Finish what you start. It will relieve stress. Organize your life. Organize your life. Organize your work. Unorganized people stress themselves. Unorganized people stress others. I love a sign. I think I seen Mrs. Costa one time. She had hanging in her office, and a lot of people go to her with projects because she is one of my secretaries, and she helps a lot of different people. But I seen a sign hanging in her office one day, and it said, "A lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine." You wouldn't believe how many people put it off, and the last minute try to cram it all in, and then they want everybody to jump on the bandwagon, and they're all freaking out and flipped out, and they're expecting all of us to jump on the freak out wagon. Well, maybe you should have started a couple days earlier.
Right.
Maybe you should have organized your life not to let that happen to you. Hey, I'll tell you something else. Keep your workplace clean.
Amen.
Keep it clean. Keep it neat. And that way you're just not frustrated all the time. Or you won't frustrate everybody else. But I say to you, if you want to relieve some stress, obey your God. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Stay in your Bible. Finish what you start. Organize your life and organize your work. Number five, don't gossip or be two-faced. I'm telling you, I've been around people for years. I've counseled people by the thousands. People is my business. And usually, not all the time, but most of the time, people that are all stressed out are gossips, they're negative, or they're two-faced. You say, well, I'm all stressed out and I'm not that way. Okay, I'll agree with you. But I'm telling you, I've seen an awful lot of it. See, gossips end up stressed out because they got to remember what they said about somebody else and they're always protecting what they said. Negative people are critical, so they dive into somebody else's problem and it's a problem they can't solve, so they can't finish the project. So their life is made up of all loose ends. They're busy being negative and critical about a whole bunch of other people, but they can't fix those other people. So they started the mental process that they can't finish, and anybody that doesn't finish what they start find themselves frustrated over it. I don't want to go around criticizing you because I can't fix you. Therefore, I've got an unfinished task started in my mind. That'll cause you to go crazy if you're not careful. Two-faced people cause stress because they're emotionally torn between... it's like a mental, weird, two-faced, dual personality. If you're not careful, you'll have stress all over yourself. I mean, you criticize to your husband somebody else and then criticize your husband to somebody else. Boy, and you will be stressed living that way because your spiritual conscience virtually can't handle that. Your spiritual conscience is saying, you should not be talking this way. You should not be acting this way. And I'm just here to tell you, I deal with people all the time. So the most stressed people I know are gossips, they're negative, and they're critical, and many are two-faced. So you be careful now. And all I'm trying to do is show you how to get stress out of your life. Number next, fix your relationships.
Good.
Fix your relationships. Listen. As quickly as you can, get right with your husband. As quickly as you can, get right with your wife. As quickly as you can, get right with your kids. As quickly as you can, get right with your brother, your sister in Christ. As quickly as you can, get right with your workmates. Because all the time you spend at odds with them is stress. So you say, what do I do? Apologize fast as you can, get it over with. I am not going to waste my time being mad, giving the cold shoulder, seeking revenge. I'm not going to do it. Plus, I'm not going to let it destroy me. I'm going to tell you something. I love people, and when I'm not right with people, it stresses me. It stresses me. And some of you are so stressed out because you're just not right with people. And that proves, I think, you're good folks, because only good folks would be stressed because they're at odds with people. But you better get it taken care of. And I'll promise you this. Poor people skills cause stress.
Yes, sir.
It does. When you're not good with people, when you don't practice grace and kindness and gentleness and patience with people, you're going to have stress in your life. You're just going to have it. Stress with your family and followers and fellow Christians. But fix your relationships quickly. It will relieve stress in your life. Next, plan ahead. Plan ahead. That word plan would be good for some of you.
Man.
Just plan. Don't function off the seat of your britches. You ever find somebody always running off the seat of their britches? Running here, running there, had no plan, hoping it all to fall into place. What's all going to do is fall apart.
Right.
And you stress yourself and you stress other people that way. There's an old saying that I learned in leadership class when I was in Bible college. It was plan your work, work your plan, and don't get sidetracked. And that's good advice for you. Learn to plan your life. Don't let it just happen to you. You plan your life. Preachers, I try to teach preachers this. Preachers stress over their sermons. It is a big responsibility to stand in this pulpit 3 and 4 times a week and produce sermons that help this many people. And then we have a vast array of people here. It's a big responsibility. I learned something a long time ago. If it's Saturday night and it's 10 o'clock and I don't have my Sunday sermons, you're looking at one stressed dude. So I decided not to live that way. I don't prepare Sunday morning sermons Sunday morning, nor do I do it Saturday night. I don't prepare Wednesday's sermon right before the service on Wednesday. You talk about stress. Oh, and you can see it in the quality of the sermons when people do that. Throw it together real quick. Can't get anything out of it. Illogical. Not connected. The Holy Spirit has a hard time working through it. Hey, when the Holy Spirit can't interpret your sermon, you know you got problems. When He's looking at that thing saying you're running about six different directions, you don't even know what you're teaching, boy. I'm going to try to make something out of this for you, but you're going to have to solo a bit tonight because I don't even know how to tell them what you're saying. What I do is I used to have one, I now have two. I have two file folders that I carry in my briefcase. I probably have over 100 sermons in process right now. I have over a dozen of them that are already finished. I know that they're sermons that God wants me to preach. I just don't know when. So I pray and I say, God, when are you ready for this particular sermon? I don't wait till the last minute. I'm always preparing sermons. I always have a whole series of sermons ready. It's just a matter of putting the finishing touches on them when God wants them preached. What did I do? I organize the stress out of my preaching. Look, folks, as I stand before you tonight, I'm as comfortable as all get out. You say, Brother Owens, you do a good job of not preaching under stress, but boy, do you put stress on us out here when you preach. But I'm relaxed, I'm comfortable, I'm happy. I am, right this moment, I am not tense, I'm not wound up. The sermon was ready. It was a matter of me and God connecting on when, and we do it. So what am I doing? I am organizing some stress out of my life. Let me tell you something else that'll help you with your stress, and I'm going to hurry here. Live by schedule. Live by schedule. Get you a little schedule book. Learn to write down your appointments and your obligations. Most of you have the time to do what you need to do, and you have the time to do the things that you're stressing about. You have just not scheduled to do it. You don't schedule it to be done, so then you fail at it, and then you're frustrated by it. You're always saying, when can I do that? I can't get to this. You get mad at the people that gave you the responsibility, but honestly, it's probably not their fault. It's probably your fault. Oh, I realize sometimes leadership will at the last minute drop something on you, and it's a bit unreasonable, but you wouldn't even panic at that if you spent most of your time planning ahead with your other work and scheduling it. We put off and we procrastinate, and procrastination creates stress.
Yes,
stress. Number next, to some of you, you need to learn to delegate. Learn to delegate. You say, what is that? That means helping, getting help to share the load. If you've got more than what you can handle, get help. Some of you ladies need to stop babying your kids and give your kids some responsibilities around the house. We called it chores when I was growing up. My parents did not let me watch TV and play Nintendo all day long every day without any responsibility. I had responsibility every day of my life. And you would take some stress off of you if you would teach your children the character to help out around the house. Sunday school teachers, teach some class members how to help with some of the responsibility. Teach the bus workers how to help with some of the responsibility. Listen to this, leaders, and listen to me carefully. Many leaders stress out because they're not discipling people.
Good.
And I'm not just talking about teaching people to be soul winners. I'm talking about teaching people to serve the Lord. I'm talking about teaching people how to set up chairs in your Sunday school class. And teaching people how to help organize this and do a little of that.
Good.
They become a one-man band and they wonder, why in the world? I had a young pastor call me from down in North Carolina. And he said to me, he said, Brother Owens, I need help. I can't counsel a pastor every day of my life. He said to me, Brother Owens, I need help. All of this is happening in my church. I said, Doc, what you need to do is stop trying to grow more people in your church and start growing the ones that you have to help you where you're at. I said, Doc, you're trying to do it all by yourself. I said, you've got to teach somebody to head up those ushers and somebody to run those bus routes and somebody to groom that property. You've got to do that. You just can't do it all by yourself. He said, but the ones I'm not good at recruiting help. I said, Jesus was.
Right.
He gathered around him a batch of 12 good solid men. And before he left, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. And you go get a workforce and we're going to turn this world upside down. Look at all the workers that Jesus recruited. How many of you are a worker for Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. They're everywhere. He said, I can't do it by myself and I'm not leaving it for one person to do. You've got to learn to delegate some. Now, some of you delegate too much. You let your wife do all your work for you. I'll just throw that in there. Ladies, if you could, you'd say amen. I'll say it for you. Amen, brother! Next, learn some proper priorities. Figure out what is most important. Learn deadlines and respect them and plan your work based on it. Hey, and don't let little things keep you from big things. I must have this thing. What's it? Attention deficit. I've got to have attention deficit. I've got it. If they've got pills for it, I need to start taking it right away. I'm never going to be a success in life. I've just got that. I could be sitting around doing something and all of a sudden something gets my attention over here and I want to get up and go do it. And then something gets my attention over here and I want to get up and go do it. And something else. I'm going to guess about everybody's that way. I have a hard time locking in on the big things that need to be done. And you know what we all need to learn to do? We all need to learn to stop letting little things rob us of the big things' time. When it's prayer time, everything under the sun can try to take its place. When it's time to come to church, everything under the sun will try to keep you from coming to church. That's a big thing. Going to work is a big thing if you're a real man. And we've got to learn not to let little things. And I'm not talking about little things that are bad. I'm talking about little things that are good. Little good things can eat up the success of the big things that needed to be done. When we chase after this and chase after that, you know, there are some things that I like to do. There are some parts of my work that I like to do, but they're not as necessary as some others. So I've got to keep myself from doing what I like and force myself to do what must be done. I would like to study all the time. If you come to my house right now, and please don't, I've got like 3 books, piles of books. My wife gets so irritated with me. I pile books up. You come to my house and you'll find piles of books all around my chair. I mean, I'm surrounded by books. You come to my side of the bed. My side of the bed has piles of books. You stumble over them. You come to my bathroom. There are books everywhere. You know something? I could read and study 24 hours a day. But I can't play like that. Just because I enjoy it. You know what I got to do? I got to dig in and I got to get the job done. I've got other things to do. I can't read all day long because it's pleasant to me. I've got to learn to do what's got to be done first. And then some pleasure or leisurely reading, I'll do it later. What am I saying? Learn some priorities. Then, hey, you want to get rid of some stress? Just be a hard worker. Productivity will remove some of the stressful things in your life. People say exercise to get stress out of your life. Really, you could exercise. Nothing wrong with that. But may I say, why not exercise by working? Yeah. Kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Exercise your heart. Sweat a little bit. And so, you know, that's this fluid that comes out of your body. And I'm talking about on your forehead. Under your arm. Some of you are saying, yeah, the person beside me has been doing it. But work hard. Hard work relieves stress in the body. Work is what fixes the problem that causes the stress. Let me keep going. I got a couple more and I'm done. Take what I call mini vacations. We take a big vacation for a week or two once a year. Why? Because it relaxes us. Well, what would happen then if throughout the year you took a little mini vacation? I'll tell you what some of you need to do. Some of you that are really hard workers, and you say, Brother Owens, I'm stressed. And I think some of you are because you're good people and you're hard workers. You know what I'd do? I'd stop taking your lunch break at your desk if you can. Get away from your desk and relax. Go somewhere and sit under a tree if you can. Relax. Eat lunch away from that desk and away from people so you can get that little break in the day. There's a lot of stress relievers. You need a little vacation. You could take one day and make sure that you relax in that day. Take your wife somewhere overnight. Get a hotel room and relax. And don't take your laptop and your cell phone with you.
Good.
Go actually relax and unwind a little bit. It'll help you. Nothing wrong with it. Go kill something. Brother, that'll relieve stress. Did you know you can pump 20 shells into one deer? That'll relieve stress. And when you get to the 20th, you'll know that you need a stress ball. Listen, go get you a pack of French fries from McDonald's, and I hardly ever would eat at McDonald's, but go get you a pack of French fries at McDonald's and go park somewhere, roll the windows of your car down, and eat your French fries one at a time. You know what most of you do? You grab half that pack and you go, eat them one at a time and relax. I mean, when you look at you, you look like you got 20 sticks hanging out of your mouth at one time when you do that. Boy, that's the way we are. Matter of fact, if you're getting McDonald's going to take it home to the wife, you've eaten half your French fries before you ever get there. And I'm not saying that's bad. Really, what I would have done was eat half of her French fries before you got there. Learn to take a little mini vacation. Then, listen, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your scheduling mistakes. Fix it. Let me tell you, I carry a heavy schedule and a busy schedule. I wouldn't expect anybody here to work like I do or handle the kind of schedule I do, but I'll tell you what I do. I'll schedule myself, and then I'll watch my schedule, and I'll see how my schedule worked out, what did work out, what didn't work out. And I'm also talking about my work attitude. And so I make sure the next year when I'm facing that very same event or that very same part of the year that I have scheduled myself in a way that I have a good attitude and I enjoy my work and I don't become sick and that I'm healthy through it. That's what I do. Say, how do you keep on going? Now, I'll probably end up sick this week and I'll end up having a heart attack next week. But I'm telling you, at least for now, after 47 years, I carry a very, very heavy load. I'm a very, very busy person. But the way I've done it through the years is I look at a year, I schedule the year, I work with the year, and then as I put my scheduling together from week to week, I'm careful to watch my attitude and learn from my mistakes. I don't want to make up excuses as to why I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and at least I don't want to do that 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row. Look, if you're having the same problem year after year after year, you've got the problem. It's not what life's doing to you, it's what you're not doing about organizing, scheduling your life. And so, here's what I've said this evening. I want to talk to you about how to help your stress. You see, number one, not all stress is bad. Stress will help us to reach our potential. Stress can be very good for us. Number two, stress will affect us negatively. It'll affect our health, our sleeping, our quality of work. It'll affect our decision making, our relationships, our walk with God, and our joy. But there are ways to help this thing called stress. What is it? Obey God. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Stay in your Bible. Finish what you start. Get your life organized. Don't be a gossip. Don't be negative. Don't be two-faced. Fix your relationships quickly. Plan ahead. Live by a schedule. Learn to delegate out those things that you can. Learn to put things in proper priority. Work hard. Take a little vacation, a little miniature vacation, and learn from your mistakes, and I'll promise you, if you'll look through that. Hey, if you'll only apply a few of these things that I've taught you, you can work some stress out of your life. You can work some stress out of your life. I love being busy. I love working. Brother Bell, I don't want to waste my life. I don't. I don't want to come to the end of my journey and look back and say, what did you do? Life is not all about just going to work for a little while and shoving some food in your face and grabbing a few hours of sleep. There's more to life than that. And I don't want to waste my life. I want to get everything out of it that I can, but I want to do it happily. I would like that the people around me get to be happy. There was a time when it was very hard on my family because I didn't handle the stress well, but I decided I was going to fix it. And I think they would all tell you, I worked very hard at it. Very hard at fixing the way I handle life. But I like being busy. I like it. I like being productive. Praise God that I even had a chance to be productive. But just like Jesus, you see, look at everything that Jesus was going through. And the Bible said he was calm as a lamb. Calm as a lamb. Now, we won't be exactly like him, but wouldn't hurt us to strive for it. He is our example. Let's help one another. Let's help our church. Let's help our families. Let's be like Jesus. Let's watch out for the stress of life and how it can destroy us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, well, you ought to be stressed. You probably are. You ought to get saved. Getting saved will relieve a lot of stress in your life. See, if you're unsaved, you're on your way to hell. Now, that would stress me. Getting saved would mean that you would then be on your way to heaven. That'll relieve stress.
If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, we're going to have an altar call. That means this. If you leave your seat in just a moment, walk down toward the front, there'll be men standing at the front. At each aisle way, walk up to them and say, I'm not saved. I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There are all sorts of Christians in the house. Stress overwhelms you. Maybe you ought to do some of the things I've taught you this evening. It'll help you. Maybe you need this altar. I don't know. There's some of you, you just need to learn how to handle stress. Learn how to handle it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our...